W. Ron Walker, serving under the apostolic ministry of our apostle, Dr. Leroy Thompson, Sr. It's such an honor to be here to share with you. You've taken time out of your busy schedules to come and to want to learn more about the kingdom of God. I'm excited to be your instructor for this semester because in the midst of this global pandemic, we have great leadership in our apostle. And like all of the other instructors, it is our heart to impart unto you the things that Apostle Thompson is imparting into our lives. So with that being said, fasten your seat belts because the apostolic is designed to take you into another realm. I don't think that the Western church have experienced the apostolic like we're going to experience it in this generation. This class is Catching the Waves of Revival by Apostle Jonathan David. And so tonight we're going to begin to share with you principles and precepts out of this particular book. And we'll begin with the introduction. And this year we may do something just a little bit differently than what I've done since Apostle asked me to teach in the School of Ministry. I may end up going to the end of this book and coming back the other way. But you work with us. I promise you that your life will change forever. Amen. So with that being said, get your books out. We're going to the introduction and we're going to begin to share with you some of the things to prepare you for what we will be doing over the course of this semester. Okay, let's begin. The definition of revival. Revival is described as the sovereign act of God in which he restores his own backsliding people to repentance, faith, and obedience to his word. In Hosea chapter number 10, verses number 12, Hosea the prophet describes revival as the breaking up of the fallow ground that once had been tilled. Revival is seen as the breaking forth of heaven's fire on the earth. It breaks the effects and it breaks the influence of hell's fire on the earth. And it establishes God's kingdom government here in the earth realm. The purpose of the apostolic is to create heaven to earth's government structure, which allows the portals of the supernatural to be open. Now hold that for a second, because I want you to understand you're now entering a phase of ministry called the apostolic, something that the Western culture is not very familiar with. What is the apostolic? The apostolic is God's heaven to earth government. Too many believers are looking to go to heaven, but the purpose of the apostolic is to teach that we're not being prepared to go to heaven. We are being prepared to bring heaven to the earth. And so in understanding the apostolic, we have to deal with God's order for establishing the apostolic. How does God work this apostolic government? Well, we have 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And God had set first in the church apostles, secondarily teachers, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. Now, it's important for us to understand that in 1 Corinthians 12:28, That's God setting these gifts in the church. Jesus gave the gifts according to Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 11 and 12. Jesus gave the gift. Jesus said he had set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's the gifts that Jesus said set in the church. As a matter of fact, let us go to Ephesians 4 and 12, and let us also look at 1 Corinthians 12:28. Ephesians 4, 12, 11 and 12, and then 1 Corinthians 12:28. And Jesus, who is the head of the church, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. And notice he gave these gifts for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Keep reading. Until we all come.
Till we all come.
In the unity of the faith.
And of the knowledge of the Son of God.
Unto a perfect man.
Until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
That is the purpose of the apostolic. Jesus, who is the head of the church, gave gifts to the church. We call them the fivefold ministry gifts. These gifts were given to the church. Why? To perfect the saints, to do the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, and also until we all come into what? The unity of the faith. Read it again, sir. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12.
And he gave some apostles,
and he gave some prophets,
and he gave some evangelists,
and some pastors, and some teachers,
for the perfecting of the saints,
for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ,
until we all come into the unity of the faith,
and of the knowledge of the Son of God,
unto a perfect man,
unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:28. We're talking about this apostolic government. You must understand this in order to begin to move like we want you to move. 1 Corinthians 12:28. Now, notice, Jesus gave the gifts. God did the setting. And God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets,
thirdly teachers.
After that, miracles, that's the evangelist. Miracles, gifts of healing,
helps,
governments, and diversities of tongues. Now, that when you read that, now, it's not that that list is any different from Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Jesus gave the gifts. Those five ministry gifts made up the one Jesus. Yes, five fifths. Apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those five ministry gifts. He gave some to be, not all, some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, pastors and teachers. Those five make up the one Jesus. God set those gifts in the body as it pleased him. Okay, back to the book. Let's read.
The only way to shut the gates of hell
is to open the doors of heaven.
Cooperation and revival.
God cannot move unless men have prepared themselves.
And according to his, notice that term, revealed word, God cannot move amongst men except he move according to his revealed word.
Revival is a cooperation.
And it's a covenant thing. The fire came from heaven
after
the prophet Elijah
had built an altar
according to God's word. Read.
The rain came after Noah
had built an ark
according to God's word.
The outpouring of the Holy Spirit
came down after the apostles
prepared themselves
cooperatively
in the upper room.
They had to cooperate with the instructions that they received from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Read.
Revival is a sovereign move of God.
It's an intervention of God
in the affairs of men.
Revival is not something that you or I planned.
It is something that God does
by his Holy Spirit.
We can lay the foundation for revival
and we can prepare for revival,
but it is God
that has to move.
We must follow instructions.
Catching the waves of revival.
Now notice this. Catching the waves of revival is the unfolding of what it takes
to bring revival
into our cities and into our country and into our land.
In this book, we will study the various stages of revival.
Most people believe we have to wait for revival.
Because revival is a sovereign act.
And that only God can determine
when it should happen.
Now notice this. Once again, we're talking about these things happen.
A revival can only happen when we follow instructions from God.
Read.
Notice the fire came after Elijah
built the altar.
The rain came after Noah
built the ark.
The glory came after Moses
built the tabernacle.
The heavens opened
after Jesus prayed.
The Holy Spirit came
after they had gathered together
in the upper room.
Why am I saying all of these things?
Because none of these things took place without following apostolic instructions,
without following instructions that came from God.
In the New Testament, we have Jesus, who is the chief apostle.
He is the head of the church.
When you study the New Testament and you understand this fact that Jesus took 12 men.
I know there were, when he began to minister, multitudes followed.
He had those who were called disciples, disciplined ones. But the Bible says Jesus went to pray.
And after spending all night in prayer, God, through the Holy Spirit, revealed unto him the name of the men that he would train to be apostles.
In the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he began to train apostles
because apostolic government begins with the apostle.
That's why the apostle is not only the first gift Jesus gave, but it's also the first one that God set in the church.
Remember, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it.
Now, what does that mean?
When Jesus began to build the church, he began to build the church with the gifts that God gave to him to give.
The gifts are men.
So the first gift that the chief apostle trained was apostles, and all of the other gifts must connect to the apostle. And that is what makes apostolic ministry so important. You must connect to the apostle. All of the other gifts flow from apostolic connection. Without apostolic connection, we're not functioning in the fullness of what God designed. Read, sir.
The Holy Spirit came
after the apostles
laid their hands on the believers.
Instructions. Jesus said you would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. In the Bible, when in the book of Acts chapter 8, when Philip went down to preach Christ to those who were at Samaria, Philip was an evangelist. He preached. Signs, miracles, and wonders followed. But when it came time for those believers to receive the Holy Spirit, they sent back to Jerusalem and they called for Peter and John to come. So when they would come, they would lay hands on them and they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you should be able to see and understand that apostolic government was in function in the days of the early church. Read. There's something we must do to activate revival in our city and in our ministries. The stages of revival as unfolded in this book, Catching the Waves of Revival, can help us to prepare our churches to walk into the spirit of revival before it breaks out in full scale. To know how and what to do is important, and we need to have prophetic insight and perception. We in this new generation have to know that we have been given keys to the kingdom. We know about ask, we know about seek, and we know about knock. But we must, you know, we have this knocking theology that we must get rid of. We have to move from the knocking theology to the unlocking theology. I want you to understand that. We have to move from the ask, seek, and knock. Are you listening? Many people, you know what the scriptures say? Knock and the door shall be open. That's one level. It's another level to knock and wait for the door to be open. It's another level when you understand through the apostolic that you have been given keys to unlock. Read, sir.
Stop knocking
and start unlocking. One believer can knock, but it is up to God to determine if and when he will open. The other believer determines it's over and he has the keys in his hand. One believe in waiting on God while the other believes in advancing the kingdom. I hope you can see the difference. We got to move out of this position. We have to change our paradigm. The apostolic is about changing the way we think. Catching the waves of revival is about changing our paradigms by functioning from the apostolic. One believe, let's wait on God. I mean, I'm a Kojic boy. I remember hearing those prayers in church. Lord, we're waiting on you. Lord, we're waiting on you. Well, God said, what are you waiting on me for? When I have completed all that I've done from the foundation of the world. In 6 days, I worked. But after the 6 day, the 7th day, I ceased from all of my work. I rested. And there's a rest that God says remains for the people of God. But we cannot access that rest without functioning in the apostolic. And we move from a knocking theology to a unlocking theology. Read, sir. These apostolic teachings
and procedures will help the church to work out their own salvation and come into the full inheritance that God hath prepared for them that love him. The keys of the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom are given and belong to a mature church,
not an
immature church, who will squander her inheritance. You have to be a real son to carry the keys. See, you have to be a real son to carry the keys of the apostolic. You can't trust a novice. You can't trust a baby. What you mean, Dr. Walker, you have to become a real son? You know, we take sonship in the body of Christ. Well, I'm born again. I'm born from above. So because I'm born from above, I'm a son or I'm a daughter of the living God. But we have to understand we got to go further. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Notice the difference. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, if you go to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, see, he is our chief apostle. He is our example. The Bible says in Matthew's gospel, the 3rd chapter, that Jesus, after he was baptized in the River Jordan, the Bible says he came up out of the water and lo, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove and lighted upon him and it remained upon him. Then a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That's in Matthew's gospel, chapter number 3, the 11th verse all the way down. You read it. Now, pay attention to what I'm about to say. God made no announcement concerning Jesus, the Christ, until that day when he said, now, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus had not performed one miracle yet, but yet God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. In Matthew's gospel, chapter number 4, the next thing you read is, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Well, did you catch it? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's not enough to be born from above. We must develop intimacy with the Holy Spirit so we can learn to hear the voice of God, so we can get the instructions of God, so true apostolic revival can come into the earth realm. Go ahead, sir. You have to be a real son to carry the keys. You cannot use the keys as a rookie. You can't fumble with the keys. We can bring full scale transformation on this earth by thinking with the mind of a strategist and pursuing this course with the spirit of a revivalist. And that's why I want to go all the way to the end and come back the other way. Because let me say this to you, students, let me say, share this with you. Right now, we're living in a great day. Many people are struggling during this pandemic, this COVID-19 coronavirus that have literally shook the whole world. But for those of us who have been following our apostle, who you will find out when I begin to teach and go through the characteristics of a revivalist, you will see that God have used this man of God, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., to prepare us for the very thing that we're dealing with right now. This pandemic deals with two issues, health and wealth. And we have been well instructed and well prepared for it. So I'm not tripping
And the reason I'm not tripping is because I'm up under an apostle and I'm up under apostolic government. I'm up under a heaven to earth government, and my life has changed because of that connection. And your life will change too, as you would honor this connection, because you're not just joining some little Bible school to learn how to, you know, do some little outline in a lesson. Apostle Thompson wants to impart unto us true ministry. And you cannot do that without apostolic government. Go ahead, sir. Do not let or do not allow strategy to take the place of your spirit. What does that mean? Do not allow strategy to keep you from seeking God and getting instructions from him. See, the Bible says, for you walk by faith and not by sight. You walk by faith. What does that mean? We live, conduct, and regulate our lives by faith. During camp meeting, Dr. Leroy Thompson Jr. taught us faith is the assignment. Faith is God's agenda that we have been called to follow. So when we understand that faith is God's assignment and faith is God's agenda, you cannot carry out an assignment without instructions. So in this class, we want to reveal unto you the apostolic instructions that will cause you to experience revival, and you could be in a great asset to the church that you serve in. Okay, sir, go. True revival produces specifications for the good of man and for the glory of God. That's true revival. It produces, read it again. You lost it? True revival produces specifications for the good of man and for the glory of God. Notice that. For the good of man and for the glory of God. Go ahead, sir. No. Chapter number one. Revival, a divine attack on society. The closest biblical word to revival is revive or reviving. And it is from the Hebrew word chaya. It is a primitive root word in the Hebrew meaning to live. This word is also translated in Strong's Concordance. It means to nourish. It means to preserve alive. It means to quicken. It means to restore. It means to save alive. And it also means to make whole. The word revive, what it means? To nourish. To preserve alive. To quicken. To restore. To save alive. And to make whole. Now, I'm going over some of these things because, you know, you're going to have to take a quiz. Pay attention. Go ahead. The first four times the Hebrew word chaya is translated, revived in the King James Version, it deals with four increasing levels of death. And Genesis chapter number 45, verse number 27, it reveals to us that Jacob's flickering hope was realized when he saw Joseph's wagon. Now, when he saw Joseph's wagon, I want to just take a little minute to elaborate on that. If you know the story of Jacob in the Bible, that Joseph was the son of his old age. He was his favorite son, some would say. Are you listening? He gave him a coat of many colors. But he had a dream
that his brother's sheaves bowed down to his sheaf. He had another dream where the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed to him. And because of that, he was envied by his brothers. And literally, they sold him into slavery. They wanted to kill him. So they conspired amongst one another to kill him. But Reuben said, the oldest said, no, let's not kill him. So they put him in a pit, took his coat, put blood on it, brought it back to his father Jacob and say, your favorite is dead. But, and that went for many years. Think about it. Jacob thought his favorite son was dead. But then they found out during a famine, he was alive. See? And when he saw his son's wagon come to get him, he had hope. He was revived in spirit. I don't want to die and go off the scene. I won't go see my son, Joseph. Read. Revival starts from the small, hopeful conviction that one day we will see the glory and we will see the power of a living God. Revival springs forth or breaks forth from a hope that does not disappoint. Now, you know what the Proverbs say. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. See, children, we talk about living, conducting, and regulating our lives by faith. But faith cannot function by itself. Faith functions with grace. Faith functions with hope. Faith functions with the promise. Are you listening? And faith working by love. All of these things got to be connected. So what is it when somebody makes a promise to you and it has not come to pass? Don't you get discouraged? But here's what you need to understand. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, what God promised you. And faith is as real as the thing he promised. See, without the promise, we don't have a reason to hope. So faith connects us to hope and to the promise that God made to us. And the assurance that we have is whatever God promised, he's also able to perform. That's true revival. Read. In Judges 15 and 19, it reveals that Samson's thirst was quenched by the water that came out from a supernatural source, which caused his strength to return, and he was revived. Now, you have to study that out. Samson did mighty great exploits as the Spirit of God would come upon him. But God had to provide a supernatural source. What was that supernatural source? The jawbone of an ass that he used to slay all of them folks. Read. Revival starts as an unquenchable thirst that only a supernatural source can satisfy. Hold that. So what are you saying, Dr. Walker? One of the things in following Apostle Thompson, he revealed this to us. He said, when I came into the kingdom, I asked God to give me a hunger and to give me a thirst for his word, to give me a hunger and to give me a thirst for his word. And he said in 46 years of ministry, he's not taken a day off. Now, I've never heard that before. And so in this school of ministry, we must ask God to create that same hunger and that same thirst that will cause us to be on the cutting edge. Go ahead, sir. Revival is the coming in of a new freshness, fresh oil from the supernatural provision of God. And 1 Kings chapter number 17, verse number 22. It reveals unto us that the prophet Elijah's prayer And God responded to his voice by reviving and restoring the child. Revival starts in response to our voice of prayer. God moves in response to our intercession and to our praise. Now, notice this. Revival has a lot to do with human responsibility. That's such a key. Human responsibility. In the church I grew up in, and like many churches today, not only are people waiting on God, they think that things automatically happen because they are Christian. No, you have something to do. It takes human responsibility. Read. Activating a supernatural move of God. God cannot and God will not start a revival by himself. And 2 Kings chapter number 13, verse number 21. It reveals that a dead man came to life when his corpse touched the bones of the prophet Elisha. Revival starts with the principle of continuance. Revival starts when we become fully submerged in the teachings and in the revelations of the older or the old order, and we become baptized by their message. What does that mean? We cannot do away with our forefathers. You know, one of the things about being in the body of Christ for a while, you hear things like read the New Testament. That's great. But the vast majority of the New Testament came out of the Old Testament. And the Bible say all things that were written before time, you know, the things that were written before time, you know, we should pay attention to them, that we would have comfort. We would have hope because those scriptures that were written before time were written for our learning. We have to learn from the past. Read, sir. We need to touch the bones of our forefathers if we're going to carry on from the old unto the new today. Revival starts when God restores the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. That's true revival. We're experiencing that right now. The hearts of the children are being turned to their father, and the hearts of the fathers are being returned to their children. And in the body of Christ, apostles are true fathers. And without fathers and without being fathered, we cannot practice this principle of continuance, which revivals are based upon. All these groups of people are listed as the recipients of revival.